great to see all of you this morning. It feels wonderful to have this side filled in. Just so you know, we're here again next week, 11 o'clock. It's also wonderful to have our friends, people from a care group in Steinbach here worshiping with us as well. So welcome here. It's always special to see you guys. Today we want to, a few things have sort of come together. At the end of Advent, we're looking at Epiphany today and the wise men, and the theme is unity, and been wanting to look at reimagining the church, and unity is part of that, and so I thought we'd pull it together, and on top of that, of course, child dedication, where we are talking about opening the doors. If you look in your bulletins, you'll see, I'm not going to make you read it, you can just look at it so you can read it later, unless the sermon gets too long, in which case you can read it. It's called Reimagining the Church. And what we say in there is we're not saying that North Kildonan Mennonite Church isn't doing a great job. We're just saying that once in a while, we need to sit down and kind of push the edges a little bit to ask how we're doing. All of us need that from time to time. At the beginning of a year, it's a great time to do that. So today we want to start by talking about what it means to melt walls or open doors or whatever metaphor you want to use that talks about how we let people who aren't here connect with who we are. So if you'd like to bow for just a moment, we'll pray and ask God to be with us. God, as we look at your word, give us wisdom, understanding, and joy. Help us to have sensitive hearts to make the adjustments that we need to make in our lives. Amen. The problem with the Christmas story is that God put in the wrong people. Mary and Joseph should have been royalty, welcoming a king, right? Not blue-collar workers. And the shepherds, my goodness, these should have been who's who coming to see Jesus, not people who had the worst job ever. But it's the wise men who really take the cake. I mean, these guys were probably nice, and they were smart, and they were powerful, and they were rich, all the things that we were thinking the other people should be. But they were, now how do we say this politely? They were foreigners. I mean, what are they doing in this story? Come on. And you kind of wonder why God plugs them in and what he's trying to do. They don't fit. I want you to hang on to that thought for a while, and we're going to come back and visit that in just a minute. Want to spend a few minutes talking about walls. Our lives and our world is full of walls, invisible barriers that keep us away from other people. There are lots of different ways in which we form walls. One of them is culturally. People from a different history or tradition or language or whatever, we can get pretty specific about that. When I grew up, we even had walls against other Mennonites. I was the conference, and there was this EMCers. Have you heard of those? My goodness. And then there was the Baptists and the Pentecostals. Well, we were scared of those folks. We like to be with people like us, which is perhaps why, I don't know if you heard Megyn Kelly of Fox News a few weeks ago tell us that both Santa Claus and Jesus were white. Probably would have been a surprise for Mary and Joseph. After 9/11, there's been a lot of racial profiling. We look at people and we say, you're not us. And so we push them away at arm's length. We look at other cultures and we say, that culture's hardworking, that one's lazy, that one's cheap. And we have definitions for them. They're not like us, right? The debate about race and intelligence, if you can believe it, continues. Some races, they say, are more advanced than others. Really? Gender is another way we make boundaries. Some of us come from backgrounds in which the women were all be sitting here and the men would be sitting here, and there's a line right along here, and the women didn't come north of that one, I'll tell you. But some of that has changed, but we still live in a society in which, while that's changing, there's still something of a glass ceiling for women working their way up in many ways. Age is another one. We have our ages all divided up. We start with Gen Z or the Boomlets. Not a great name. Those are the people under 20. Then we have Gen Y, or the millennials, Gen X, the baby boomers, or if you got a little zip left in you, they call you the zoomers. And then we have the silence, those who are between 60 and 80. Apparently, they didn't come visit us here. And then below that is called the GI generation. And what people have done is they've divided these things up really tightly, and they said, this is who each of the groups is. And they've made such a distinction that we're wondering, do we even know how to talk to each other? Can we connect with each other? And those walls have been divided for us. Socioeconomic is another one. In fact, it's said that people can transcend ethnic barriers better than socioeconomic realities. That people who are wealthy from different cultures can get together better than people who are poor, people who are wealthy from a given culture. Religion is another way. We are suspect of some people, and this last while, with the news suggesting that people who are Muslims are all terrorists, it gets a person nervous when you're walking down the street and you see somebody who is in fact Muslim, and we say, what's going on? Where did that wall come from? Personal history. I grew up in a place where if you had a history of doing particular things, you were relegated to the margins of the church. Some things like having a baby a little too early, or getting divorced, or going bankrupt. There was a whole bunch of other things that pushed you to the edge. You're welcome, but don't come in too far because you don't belong that far. And there are lots more walls. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those things that make you inside and others outside, or the other way around. So where do these walls come from? Well, I think a lot of the walls come up because we're just lazy. The easiest to be with our own kind, people we understand and trust. There's an inside sense. You ever go to a group and they start telling stories and everybody's laughing and looking around, what happened? It's inside information. It's just easy that way, isn't it? We say, you're part of us. You're not really, so go over there and be with your own kind. Truth be told, every one of us, when we're in our inside group, we think everybody's equal, but we might be just a little more equal than everybody else, right? Some of the walls are built because of fear. We fear the intentions of other groups we don't understand. We say, what are you trying to do? You're trying to destroy us? You're trying to break us down? You're trying to water down our faith? We fear losing our identity. I don't know if you've seen the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Perfect example. Don't marry outside of your own group because who are you going to become? What will happen with your children? We fear change. We've always done it this way. And if we start opening the doors, it's going to change. Some of the walls go up because of bigotry and hatred. We think of the Nazis and the Jews, or the U.S. history with slavery. Canada has its own history to contend with. There are lots of other reasons walls come up. The sermon really should last about 3 hours, but I won't do that to you. We keep cutting corners here. You're smiling. I'll keep it short. God's intention has always been a world without walls. Walls began because of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that between men and women, there's some division. And it says, because of sin, men will rule over the women, which makes you wonder what happens with salvation if that gets reversed. But that's another day's discussion. There's a discussion of the flood when the races separated after that in Genesis chapter 9. There's an interesting discussion that comes from the forming of apartheid based on that material, suggesting that some cultures are better than other cultures. It's craziness, but take a look at that sometime. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, the distinction between the languages. But that was never God's intention. God's intention was perfect harmony. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, God is talking to Abraham. And the first read, it looks a little bit like God is saying, ah, those people, I'll start with you again. Forget the other bunch. But he's saying quite the opposite. I am blessing you, he says to Abraham, so that through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. God is saying to Abraham, I need a little help here. I need a little help reaching out to break down some of these walls. or Isaiah chapter 2, all the nations will come to the mountain of God. When Jesus came, we see Jesus defying all the walls that were there. He was a rabbi. He was an important person, and he went hanging out with people who weren't. In fact, hanging out with people that he shouldn't have even looked at. He was a man. He spent time with women. He was an adult. He spent time with children. He was a Jew. He spent time with Gentiles. All of these walls, he knew better. That wasn't what he was supposed to be doing. Stay with your own. But he didn't. Every wall he found, it was melted because of his love. And then in Acts 2, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, we say that this becomes a reality for the church. People from all different nations came together and became the church. Didn't matter where they came from. Their culture, their socioeconomic level, their gender, their age, that wasn't important. They became the church. And there's this beautiful picture in Revelation 7 that picks up on this. It's around the throne of God at the end of time. And it has this picture of people from every nation gathering together. They don't lose their identity. They still are who they are. But they've learned to respect each other and to hold hands and to recognize that they are something together. Back to the three wise men. God brings it into the mix because all of us belong. Foreigners, poor shepherds, middle class, Joseph and Mary, everybody belongs. Paul writes in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. We are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed, going back to Genesis 12, and heirs according to the promise. What Lasse read a little bit ago in Ephesians 2, once you were outside the wall, but now because of Jesus, we are inside. In fact, Jesus destroyed the walls and we are all brothers and sisters. Now, this is a kind of a fascinating thing because the time of the week, which is the most segregated, is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. More than work, more than neighborhoods, more than your hockey team, more than anything else we do, the segregation happens here in the church. Doesn't that seem a bit weird? Walls begin to melt when we begin to value the people on the other side more than our need to control. When we realize that the person, regardless of their age or culture or gender or religion or language, are created in the image of God, are loved by God, and the God who longs for everyone to belong together. It's a little bit like the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal son comes home, says, "Woohoo, I'm home." And the other brother says, "Oh, no, you're not." And he goes and sulks in the barn. God wants us to come together. It's scary. It's really scary when the walls begin to melt because we lose control and we no longer call the shots. And that's hard. It's important to note, as I mentioned earlier, when the walls dissolve, we still are who we are. Use men and women as an example. When the walls between males and females disintegrate, we don't have some strange new hybrid coming out. Still men and women. And when we begin to embrace other people, we still are who we are. And more than that, it's good who we are. We need to be proud, not arrogant. We need to be proud of who we are and encourage other people to be proud of their culture and their language and their background. So, are there any walls at North Kildonan Mennonite Church? I'm aware of a bunch of missing walls. Let me tell you about what I've seen so far. I've heard stories of people who are willing to change the language of a group because someone joined who didn't know German. Changed to English quietly. Nobody said a thing. I've seen wonderful respect in relationships between people of different ages. It's just marvelous to see that interconnection. I have been told from people with different backgrounds that they walked in and they felt welcome. Said, "Don't know this German bunch, but hey, they're great." And in some programs, I've seen incredible respect between people of different socioeconomic backgrounds. There's some missing walls, folks. That is exciting. And I'm sure there are others, and I look forward to you letting me know about that. Funny things about walls is, We usually don't see them when we're on the inside. They just are evident when we're on the outside. So how can we melt them? We need to look for ways to cross lines. And so I'm going to draw up a few ideas here. And that insert in the bulletin, at the very bottom, there's a little note that says, please call me if you have ideas, if you have stories. And I've got everything listed except carrier pigeon, and you're welcome to do that if you'd like. So here are some ideas. Every Sunday, look for someone that you don't normally associate with and talk to them. Look around the foyer and, I don't know them, go and talk to them and introduce yourself. And if you want to be really put together, take a look at your directory at home and flip through until you find some people. I don't really know them. Find out what their names are so you can greet them by name in the foyer and say, how are you doing? And follow up with that. It's really interesting when you look somebody in the eye and say, so how are you? And you mean it. Wonderful things happen. When there's something that you don't like on a Sunday morning, ask yourself, maybe there's someone who does like this. And maybe even smile. In fact, let's go a step further. If there's something that you don't really appreciate on a Sunday morning, and you think maybe somebody else does, go and talk to the person who did it and tell them you're glad that they included this person. Let me give you an example. I don't know German. And so we start singing a German hymn. I'm lost. I'm got a clue what's going on. I'm reading this, trying to figure out what it might say, guessing. But you know, I look at the person next to me and they're singing this song and they're weeping. And I'm thinking, wow, that song leader found a song that touched their heart. Isn't that wonderful? And I need to go and say to that song leader, I haven't got a clue what happened, but it sure was wonderful. Do it again. Move around. I know each of you has found a spot and you've got the groove in the cushion there just right for you. But I want to encourage you to move around. Next Sunday, go share a hymn book with someone you don't generally sit beside. You'll end up talking with different people. You'll end up seeing the front from different vantage points. It's a wonderful experience. And today there are no balcony dwellers. It must be colder up there. But there are some people who are regular on the balcony. Go up there and visit with them. And those of you, who, if you are some balcony dwellers here, come down once in a while and mix and get to know the people who are here. Invite people over that you don't know. Put an extra potato in the pot. Come to church, look around for someone you've hardly talked to and say, hey, we're wondering if you could come over for lunch and visit with them. Amazing things happen. Invite people to join your regular group. You know the group where you know every person who's going to come and you know where they live and you know what TV shows they watch. Invite somebody new. Invite them to join with you. It's all about relationships. To be a community means that we very intentionally look for walls to melt. They're hard to see. We've got to work at it, but look for walls that we can melt down. It means being a church where everyone who comes feels like they matter, that they are cared for, that they are respected. That the Jesus we are talking about here actually cares about them. It means responding to each other the way that God has responded to us. I'd like to read three verses from Ephesians in the translation called The Message. The kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here, which with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here, in what he is building. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he is using you, fitting you together brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus Christ as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Isn't that amazing? May this place be like Jericho, in which all the walls fall. Amen.